It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School, and I'm glad you're here, and I hope you can get your Bible and turn it to the book of Luke. In a few moments, we're going to begin a Bible study in the book of Luke, chapter 1. Now, you know where Luke is. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, the third book in the Bible, followed that by John. And so turn to the book of Luke. And while you're getting your Bible and taking your seat, let me remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Viola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff and the superintendent of this radio Bible school, and we're studying the lessons that E.A. Elam wrote for the churches to study in their Sunday schools for the year 1922, and the very first day of October in 1922 was a Sunday, and for that Sunday he began a study called Jesus the World's Savior, Studies in Luke, and that's where we will begin in just a moment. Let me remind you what we've been doing in this radio Bible school. Up until this point, from the first class until now, and by the way, this is the 114th class of this Bible study, and so the first 113 classes, we were studying the history of Israel from the time that the tribes split under two kings after Solomon had died under his son Rehoboam, the 10 tribes to the north, and then there was Judah to the south with a little bit of Simeon and Benjamin and some of the tribes of Levi involved in that, but it divided. And we read about those kings of northern Israel, and they were all wicked, and God sent prophets among them, telling them they needed to repent, and reminded them that God had a mission for them and a purpose for them, because he would bless all the nations of the earth through this nation of Israel. But they would not repent. And God sent them away into captivity of the Assyrians, a captivity from which they never returned as a people. And so those are called the 10 lost tribes of Israel. As far as the kings of the south are concerned, many of them were not good kings either. But some of them were, and those that were tried to restore the worship of Jehovah in Jerusalem with the temple, as it was written in the book of the law of Moses. And there were restorations that were effective for a time, but because the kings and the people continued to turn from God, God had them go into Babylonian captivity, and Jerusalem and its walls and its temple was destroyed. And as Jeremiah had prophesied, the people were in that captivity for 70 years. But following 70 years, they began to return, and they returned in three waves, and coming under Ezra and Nehemiah, and they rebuilt the temple, and they rebuilt the walls, and it looked like things were going good. But once again, the people became lax in their worship. And so God sent prophets to them, warning them to repent and telling them of the great things that God had in store for them and for the whole world if they would repent and the coming of the Messiah. But it was hard for the people to hear. And at the end of the book of Malachi, the Old Testament comes to a close, and there was 400 years where there was no voice of a prophet heard in the land, and during that time was a great period of turmoil and political upheaval, because the Medes and the Persians were displaced by the Greeks, and then the Greeks were displaced by the Romans. And when we come to the New Testament, it's in the days in which the Caesars ruled from Rome, and there influence spread far out over Jerusalem and Galilee and Judea and Samaria and all that area from which we're going to read about the coming of the Christ. And then the voice of a prophet was heard again, but this time it was John the Baptist. He was that Elijah, which was prophesied to come. He came in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Mark, the book of Mark, begins with the preaching of John the Baptist in the wilderness, in which he is saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew begins earlier than that. And Matthew begins with the coming of an angel to Joseph, to tell Joseph to take unto him Mary his wife, because that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And it's going to be the fulfillment of the prophecy that a virgin would bear a son and bring forth a son and call his name Jesus. His name is Emmanuel in the Old Testament, God with us. But Luke begins even before Matthew did. Luke tells us about this angel coming to see Mary before that child was conceived in her of the Holy Ghost. And Luke actually goes further back and tells of the coming of John the Baptist and of his conception and of his birth to Zacharias and Elizabeth, and of his mission to go before the Lord and prepare the way for him. We're going to see in the course of our studies that John the Baptist was born about 6 months before Jesus was born, and somewhat of a cousin to him, and so the forerunner of the Christ is John the Baptist. And this lesson opens up on October the 1st, 1922, if you were sitting in Sunday school and opened your Sunday school book, you would see that you're going to study the birth of John the Baptist from the book of Luke. Now, what I would like to do is read that text to you, and I'm going to read Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 23. And this is the beginning of the studies in the book of Luke. Here we go. I'll be reading from the American Standard Version of 1901. "For as much as many have taken in hand to draw up a narrative concerning those matters which have been fulfilled among us, even as they delivered them unto us who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word, it seemed good to me also, having traced the course of all things accurately from the very first, to write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus, that thou mightest know the certainty concerning the things wherein thou wast instructed. There was, in the days of Herod, king of Judah, a certain priest named Zacharias, of the course of Abijah, and he had a wife of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child, because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. Now it came to pass, while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to enter into the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the hour of incense. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zacharias was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, because thy supplication is heard, and the wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before the face in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to walk into the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared for him. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak unto thee, and to bring thee these good tidings. And behold, thou shalt be silent and not able to speak until the day that these things shall come to pass, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. And the people were waiting for Zacharias, and they marveled while he tarried in the temple. And when he came out, he could not speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he continued making signs unto them, and remained dumb. Now that is the text reading. The golden text is from this reading, Luke chapter 1 and verse 15. He shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and he shall drink no wine nor strong drink. The devotional reading for this lesson is also found in this chapter, in the latter verses, Luke chapter 1, verses 68 down to verse 79. Let me read this. This is what Zacharias, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, said after John was born. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, for he hath visited and wrought redemption for his people, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from old. Salvation from our enemies, and from the hand of all that hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he sware unto Abraham our father, to grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, should serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all of our days. Yea, and thou, child, shalt be called the prophet of the Most High, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the remission of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high shall visit us, to shine upon them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Now that is the way the book of John begins. Let me read the introduction. We're talking about Luke. And Luke is the author of the book of Luke and of Acts the Apostles. He was born, it is supposed, in Antioch of Syria and was educated as a physician. In Colossians 4 and verse 14, Paul calls Luke the beloved physician. It is also thought that he might have been a Gentile. And from the use of the pronoun we in the book of Acts, we learn where he joined Paul in Acts 16, 10, and 11, there at Troas when Paul was on his way to Philippi, and where he remained when separated from Paul, and that was at Philippi, and where and when he joined Paul again when Paul returned through Philippi on his way to Jerusalem, and how he accompanied Paul all the way to Jerusalem and all the way to Rome. He was not an apostle, and not therefore an eyewitness of what he wrote concerning Jesus, but he learned it from others. He was a scholar and traced the course of all things accurately from the first, seeking information and facts until he knew the certainty of those things whereof he wrote, Luke 1, 1 through 4. It is thought he wrote his gospel under Paul's influence in Caesarea and Acts of the Apostles under the same influence at Rome. You know, it's wonderful that we have multiple accounts of the life of Jesus. I'm reminded of the Old Testament by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Let every word be established. We read about Matthew and Mark and John and their knowledge of Christ. And we might think, wouldn't it have been good if someone had gone and checked it all out? That's exactly what Luke did. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Luke documented his findings, and we have them in the book of Luke, and by studying them, we can be certain. We'll return to this study the next class period. You may be dismissed.